Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. I'm still in Buffalo, and it's snowing, and so I will hopefully be home next week. The show next Sunday will come from Los Angeles, I hope. Today, we have a return of Katie and Ed from last week. Remember, they were getting ready for their one-day strike, which was April 1st. And so this is April 3rd, and we're going to hear from them about the strike. I've got a lot of questions I want to ask, and if you do too, you know how to call in and talk to them. I'm sure they would be a lot more interesting for you to talk to than me. So let's get started. Welcome back, Katie and Ed. How are the two of you?
Thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm doing great. A little tired, but doing great.
Katie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same here. We're pretty exhausted, but things are going great over here.
Okay. All right. The strike. How did it go?
I mean, yeah, it was extremely successful. We tons of people came out. I know the picket lines were strong at most schools. I know my school, we had a great time, chanting and, walking the picket line and telling folks coming by about, why we were doing this. And then there were lots of actions all over the city. A bunch of us went down to Chicago State University, which is under threat of, really destruction. Essentially, or just severe underfunding. So we partnered with those folks and supported their fight. And then there were a number of other actions that people attended, and then we all met downtown, and it was a huge, huge, huge success. Many thousands, tens of thousands of people.
That's something that I have not been able to find an estimated number of the crowd size, and I have been looking ever since the strike started. What are you guys hearing in terms of how large the strike was?
I definitely think it was thousands. I heard somebody estimate 7,000 to 8,000. I heard somebody else today they said they had some people that counted and said 12,000 to 14,000. I was really pinned to being with my school, and so I wasn't, I do know from the pictures it was several blocks long and pretty thick, but more than that, I don't really know.
What have you heard, Katie?
I mean, I've heard of the same things. It definitely was bigger. I know that our Chicago Tribune was reporting in the beginning that it was a few hundred, which was just ridiculous.
No.
I mean, there were definitely, definitely thousands and thousands. It was the biggest march I've seen. So we've had quite a few marches here in Chicago. So I would estimate between 8 and 10, but just from the pictures and the aerial views, but I have no idea. Yeah, I have not heard any official count.
I have seen some of those aerial views, and we're talking about people jammed in the streets. It has to be thousands.
Yes.
I can't tell because I was just shooting. I mean, they were just showing a section of the overall crowd and the length of the crowd and the depth and breadth of it, but it looked like thousands from the few photos that I've seen. And it's very curious that have not been able to find any estimates from any of the newspapers, TV stations, or what have you. It's like it's silent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, because of that, when we were talking, almost 3 days since the strike, and you haven't seen anything in the newspapers. I just finished maybe 10 minutes before we started the show making another sweep through, and yet nothing. What do you guys think of the way in which the media covered the strike?
Well, I read the Tribune, and just for people who are listening, the Tribune is a corporate publication. It's pretty, their editorial page is consistently against our union and for charter schools, and they were very openly hostile to this action. They wrote some very nasty editorials about us. The other delegate at my school wrote a long reply to one of those, which was pretty good. But but in any case, they covered, their coverage of it Saturday was, you know, at least the newspaper article was decent. Said, you know, we had a strike, we had thousands out, and that, you know, they talked to Karen Lewis about there were some people who didn't attend the picket lines, but in general, at least from reading that article, I came away thinking, you know, confirmed and that, you know, it was a successful event. So I think they weren't able to, like, you know, write this one out of existence.
Mm-hmm. I read an article from the Chicago Tribune that the headline was, Chicago Teachers Union tries to leverage momentum for walkout.
Mm-hmm.
When I read the title and then I went ahead and read the article, I had a smile on my face because I know their reputation. They're anti-public schools. And the way in which they phrase it, you guys try to leverage your power. You're trying to leverage your strength so that you have much greater bargaining power, as if all of these things were wrong at all. And others that I read, and again, you may have seen them as well, was the unprecedented strike. Let Chicago teachers flex their muscles. Did you guys see that one?
Is that Tribune or is that somebody else?
That's CBS News.
Okay.
I got a bunch of them, so we won't go through all of them. But
yeah,
the point is that I was trying to see how the media, which we know today is not the media of 20, 30, 40 years ago, where you had journalistic integrity, you had a code of ethics, and you made your bones on telling the truth. Today's media is, as we all know, corporate owned, and the truth is whatever they want to say it is and whatever way they want to say it. And we also know that their truth is mostly propaganda. And so I was looking at that aspect because we had talked last week about what you, when I say you, the individual and the collective you, were striking for, and I wanted to see how they were going to play it. And I would say out of the maybe dozen or more that I've seen, it was either neutral or negative. You guys concur with that in terms of if you've made any attempt to survey what was going on in the media, both television and print?
I mean, I feel like during when it was, like, there might be now, a couple days have passed, usually, like, those pieces start to come out. During the actual event, though, I do feel like it was pretty much just, like, reporting what people were saying and doing on, and it was more or less, I mean, just because it was reporting what we were saying, that was pro. I know that at our picket line in my school was one of the, they had a bunch of what they called contingency sites where they were basically holding cells for if parents wanted to bring their kids to a school. So they were not doing, there was no learning happening, but they were like drop-off sites. They did this the last time at the last strike in 2012. And only a small number of kids showed up. But there was a TV crew outside of our picket line the whole morning. Because of that, they wanted to catch a parent, like, bad-mouthing us, essentially. And I don't think they got that. I think they tried to talk to one or two people that came through the door, but that was it. And, you know, it was a pretty, you know, positive atmosphere. I think parents were definitely overwhelmingly on our side in terms of what we're fighting for. You know, they've even the own Tribune's own polls have shown that, you know, the public supports the teachers and the teachers union 3-1 over the mayor. Like, you know, he has no credibility in the city. So, you know, but yeah, the media went looking for the negative story, as they always do. But I think they couldn't hide all the positivity that was in our city.
What about those teachers who didn't support the strike? Was there any large numbers or numbers crossing the picket line? That was also something that was covered in the media about some number of teachers who were not supportive of the strike, and they were reporting some of the teachers that they had talked to were seriously considering crossing the picket line. Did you see any of that?
Oh, definitely not at my site, no, not at all. And I have only heard, that was not a thing that was happening. Even if people disagreed, people still came out, and, you know, came to the picket lines. And at worst, there were maybe a small number of folks that just chose not to come out to the picket line, but they were not crossing the picket line, for sure.
I mean, I think, what have you heard?
My school, there was a lot of opposition to the event at first, and so I was concerned we weren't going to have that good a turnout. But we had basically of the people who weren't, you know, not counting people who were out of town for professional development, we had like 95% attendance on our picket line, so that was pretty good. And then we did not have anybody cross. The media played up that a lot of people would cross, but from hearing scattered reports there and afterwards, I think it's only a handful of people. It was not a lot. Definitely not enough to like keep a school open or anything like that.
No.
And we also, I mean, even I heard, so I have some friends from my school who are at a school where the union's much weaker, and they had almost everybody on their picket line. So
yeah.
That's only a few schools, but, you know, I think it ended up being pretty, a lot of the schools I heard where people, you know, even voted against the action still had strong picket lines because people, a lot of those schools actually were strong union schools, and people were like, that's what we're doing. So
I think maybe that's something we also need to not just clarify, but give more information on. There were at least 26, 27 different sites where the protesters were assembled. Is that number halfway close? And why the different sites? What was the strategy involved in that? I've seen a couple of maps, and they pretty much are consistent in saying 26, 27, showing cluster of places where these strikers were. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Part of, you know, the union had this event downtown, or the Chicago Teachers Solidarity Campaign had an event downtown to announce the event, and the event was supposed to highlight both, you know, our contract, our fight for public education, but fight for public services and fight for social justice more broadly. And so the different events were supposed to highlight the array of concerns facing working-class Chicago, both around education, around public services. Katie mentioned there's a big protest at Chicago State, and there was a parallel protest at Northeastern Illinois University, which was meant to point up the budget crisis at the hardest-hit colleges. There was a march on the Juvenile Detention Center. There was a march on Cook County Jail, both supposed to highlight, you know, they keep spending money on the prisons, you know, highlight the school-to-prison pipeline. Each site, they had a couple, McDonald's went on strike that were close to these sites, fight for, you know, working people in the city need higher wages, and that, you know, is an issue for us as teachers because we need students who are in families where they have enough money to get what they need. And I don't know, that it was just trying to make our fight part of a bigger fight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was magnificent that if of different sites were organized around a different issue or a set of issues than what was taking place at another site, at another site, at another site. I think that's really cool. And whoever came up with that nailed it.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week in terms of it's hard as hell getting one union and its members together. It's got to be, in today's world, almost impossible to get other unions who are not affiliated with education involved, other than trying to have that big tent where you say, okay, this is what we're going to be protesting. We're going to something for you, maybe two things for you, but something for us and something for them, and et cetera, so that everyone has something that is of interest to them. And in the overall campaign, all of those issues will be touched on in some fashion. That's the only way you can, I don't know, the only way. In my view, that is crucial to being able to get a coalition like you guys did. And let me go back even further. The last election, am I correct that many of the labor unions, either at the last moment or something like that, went over to Emanuel's side, so that he ended up getting some union support?
He got some union support.
Pipe fitters or like very specific, like kind of trades union, like not broader labor movement for sure, but there were a few local.
Well, no, there were a couple. Unite Here.
Oh, it was construction unions, I think, downtown, where a lot of the redevelopment is going. I think that was the main group that stayed with him.
They definitely supported Emanuel, but Unite Here, which in the past has coordinated with CPU on during Occupy, Unite Here was one of the main unions that were involved in the Occupy protests, and they actually represent the cafeteria workers in CPS, but they aligned with Emanuel during the last election. And they also, it was interesting, I was an aldermanic candidate in the 25th Ward, and Unite Here was actually running one of their organizers here for a second, but they, let's say this, Solis pushed a law in city council that benefited some Unite Here workers at the airport. And soon thereafter, the Unite Here candidate dropped out of the election, and she was probably the strongest opposition candidate to the alderman here. And they also, I think that deal was actually likely tied in with their going in to support Emanuel.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think the difference about this April 1st action is that, you know, even that we actually have a number of unions right now that are going through the same sort of contract fights that we are. That means that they actually opens them up to being able to go, like a lot of, you know, unions can't really go on strike very easily. And the fact that they are all in the same place that CTU was at the same time, in addition to the, you know, it's a kind of the perfect storm of, you know, we've got our governor defunding all these public services that are just making it too obvious to ignore kind of the damage, experienced by just, you know, people across the state. You know, this action actually, you know, we focused on the stuff in Chicago, but there were people driving in from all parts of the state to join us. There was folks from like Western Illinois University, Northern Illinois University, Southern Illinois University came up. You know, like a whole bunch of, especially because, you know, our public university system is being so directly impacted by the budget impasse. So, you know, I think this kind of perfect storm moment, you know, made it just obvious about, like, which side to be on for a lot of, you know, groups.
Would you believe that after we talked last week, myself and one and possibly two other people, we tried to mount a effort to do a almost all evening into the night drive to get there, sleep maybe 4 hours, 5 hours, attend the rally, and then turn around and come back to things that have to be done here on Saturday. We were up until going, we were, you know, going can't go, have to go up until about Wednesday. And it was decided that because we were going to leave on Thursday afternoon, and I kept saying, I so want to go, but at the same time, is there going to be tens of thousands of, you know, people there? We're just going to be an ant in the crowd. Mm-hmm. And so it was sort of like, at the last minute, they said, no. But there's something else, too, about your governor. In his campaign for the governorship, he was already known, or he made it known, that he did not believe public service individuals, employees, should have a union.
Oh, sure.
He didn't make the same comment about private industry union, but he was certainly very emphatic about, well, public service employees should not have a union. Am I right on that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, he's ridiculously anti-union. He's a typical billionaire kind of, you know, horrible, conservative guy. Yeah.
He told Karen Lewis he's against collective anything at one point.
Yeah.
When he's already talking about public education.
And he did not so much win the governor. I mean, he bought his way into like running as a Republican candidate, and then our former governor, Governor Quinn. Basically, his campaign imploded because he was, you know, as the Democrat that's supposedly, quote-unquote, supposed to be on the side of working people, he was not. He was voting against our pensions, and he lost the faith of, you know, working people, so they didn't come out to vote for him. So it wasn't so much that Illinois elected governor, chose Governor Rahner, it was that they were making it, like, people didn't come out at all, and then Rahner won because of it.
This is off the issue, but do you guys have a recall provision in your constitution where you can recall a governor or
Yes, we do,
mayor?
Because of thanks to Governor Blagojevich, we can impeach a governor. But I'll say that on the picket lines and all the protests, that was a reoccurring theme. People kept saying again and again, recall Rahner. People are starting to talk about, let's get the petitions together, let's start doing this thing. So it's a real thing that people are starting to think about.
Is there any time limit in terms of you have to give the governor a year or 2 years before you can mount a recall petition?
That I do not know. It's only been done once before. So.
You can see where I'm coming from. I can't wait for you guys to jump on this.
Yeah.
And plus, as you said earlier, he's really setting himself up for it by not signing a budget until he gets exactly what he wants, which is decimation
right.
of social services and
right.
state employees and people who depend
sure.
on the social services. I mean, come on. Red flag.
Oh, absolutely. And he's playing CEO with the state instead of governor, you know. He thinks that he can, you know, treat people it's just like, I've decided this, an edict, that he's like the king or something. So, yeah, even our broken political system that we have doesn't work that way. So,
I've been trying to anticipate what my audience would want to ask if they were to call in. And so I may be kind of all over the map, but at the same time, you guys, please tell your stories from what happened Friday, afterwards, and before, because this is what, you know, this is your show. Last week was your show, and this week is your show. Mm-hmm. I will only come in if we need some fresh ideas to bounce around. So, Ed, Katie, if this is your show, take it over. Talk about the things that were important for teachers, for parents, what teachers across the country need to know. And I want to go, if you know Lois Wiener, I'm assuming both of you know of Lois
yeah.
Wiener if you don't
mm-hmm.
know her.
Mm-hmm.
She did a piece yesterday, day before yesterday, in the Jacobean, where she pretty much echoes some of the things that we talked about last week when I was saying that what you guys were doing was so historic in nature. We just don't do that
yeah.
in this country. of course, the laws at the federal and the state level are written not to favor us, but to control us, to shackle us. And for you to go out under conditions that you did, which many people are saying, as you already know, the illegal strike, and one of your, I think, vice presidents said, we were doing the right thing, and it was a moral issue more than a monetary issue. They do stuff like that in Europe, Latin America, and now they're starting to do it in Africa. I mean, in mm-hmm. Europe, and particularly France. So they'll go out on a strike in a minute's notice, half a day, all day, and come back to work at 3 o'clock, whatever it is. We don't do that here. So
mm-hmm.
your thing was, again, I'm going to keep repeating myself, this was, to me, so very important, what you showed others, and particularly other unions and particular teachers' union. You guys want to comment on that?
I will say, Katie mentioned that their number of public, like the transit workers in Chicago, their contract is up right now. So at our, we were picketing, my school's in West Englewood, and we were which is a very depressed black neighborhood on the south side. And so we were marching around. After a certain point, about half of the people on our picket marched around. So we had 35 people march. And, probably three-quarters of the buses that drove by us, we saw a bunch honked for us. You know, they were all, or waved, or pumped their fists.
And firemen and the police, and they were all honking.
Yeah, I mean, the fire truck sounds are pretty, those scary when they do it. You hear that a long way away. And then also when I attended there was a little rally at UIC. It was like students and faculty there. And then we went from that rally to the big rally downtown on the CTA, on the train. There's a Blue Line train that's just off campus. And so it was like five teachers from my school, and we're all wearing red. And, one of the teachers I brought was like, oh, I've got to put money on my card. And the train conductor at the turnstiles sort of like, waved us over and discreetly used his card to let us in. It's like, here, go on in. And, I thought that might happen. And so we got that. So there was like, definitely people identified with us. We got a lot of people honked for us. And
I think
I was asking the people I was with, we didn't heard one ambiguous comment, and almost everything else we heard was positive directed towards us. So.
Yeah, absolutely. The solidarity, I think, was very, it's just inspiring. I actually think, for my staff, we're an elementary school. We're on the far south side of Chicago. Our schools like mine are under a special kind of attack. A neighborhood school, like the charter proliferation and attacks on veteran educators have impacted my school a lot. And honestly, my whole staff is extremely demoralized. We are ridiculously overworked. We're overwhelmed. Right now we're in the middle of PARC testing, which is the Common Core test. That is just a horrible, ridiculous test. It lasts 7 different days of testing, and it basically disrupts the whole school for weeks on end because all the grades have to go through this, all the grades 3 through 8. So it's just, we're just so demoralized. And I have to say that being out there together with my coworkers on a picket line, chanting and singing and, sharing food and laughing and, it really was, I guess, just to tell teachers out there. Like, it was just a moment of hope and, like, joy that we just don't get that much in the way things are in our schools. And, you know, it was something that we all, I'd say we all just needed so badly just to make it through the year, you know. When you've got just, you know, our evaluation system and, you know, all the, like, the threats coming down constantly, the budget cuts. Like, you know, we've gotten our budget, we talked about last week how many times we got our budget cut, 4 times this year alone, just the chaos, just the, how we still have to work with kids every day in the middle of all this, you know, craziness. So yeah, it was just such a, I don't know, a blessing to have, you know, that moment of joy and happiness and hearing people honking as they went by and saying, "You go," and asking for signs and coming and joining us in our picket line to, like, grab some donuts and, you know, say, "We're on your side." Even our own, our administration and the folks that had to be inside the building because their unions, you know, were not on strike. They were all kept coming out to the doorway and waved at us and said, "You go," and, you know, so it was just a very positive experience. And then, of course, culminating down in downtown and just seeing the you know, the outpouring of support and solidarity. You know, we Ed and I also were at the Labor Notes conference over this past weekend, and just everyone there was, like, just a buzz about CTU and just, you know, "You guys are, you know, wow," like, and, you know, so it was something I think a lot of folks in our system needed.
So you guys were celebrities this weekend at Labor Notes.
A little bit, actually. Yeah, maybe.
Go ahead. Come on. Don't hold back. There
yeah,
were a lot of
I
us
mean,
there. Yeah. We're bad. We know that. Yeah.
I
was at a Labor Notes conference.
Yeah, totally.
I was at a Labor Notes conference. I think it was in the end of October. Yeah, because I came down from Connecticut, and that was my, we did, like, the first road trip, and that would be the group that would really appreciate CTU, and each of you as rock stars, which leads me to the question that I was also angling for, and that is, did CTU or individuals in CTU get any encouragement and support from unions, local unions around the country, or teachers saying, "We are with you, we are so proud of you"?
Oh, yeah.
Or anything any of you know of?
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
I know Detroit Federation of Teachers. Detroit Federation is one of them. And L.A., a bunch of the big teacher unions.
Washington.
Gave a statement.
Yeah, and it was all over social media, like tons of different, both individuals and caucuses and locals were sending out solidarity. You know, I mean, Randy Weingarten, AFT's, you know, national president, was out here participating. So, I mean, the whole, all, you know, and it definitely was teachers everywhere that were supporting us. And we got all these pictures of folks wearing red in New York City or in L.A. or in Washington State and saying, you know, yeah, you know, they all were showing, you know, sending solidarity photos. So, yeah, there definitely was. And there definitely was a lot of, you know, we're both members of CORE, the Caucus of Rank and File Educators. So there was a lot of solidarity between our sister caucuses and, you know, reform caucuses in various cities that were very, you know, inspired, I guess. So, you know, like Moore in New York City and we in Philadelphia and just a bunch, yeah. Massachusetts, like L.A., a lot of them.
Have you heard anything from those same people after the strike?
Well, we did at Labor Notes, we had a teacher, or like a meeting for teachers. It was like standing room only. People were lined around, like it was like packed in the room. And there were teachers from all over the, there was actually teachers out from outside the country too. So, and there was just tons of support and, they were all, people just seemed thrilled.
Do you get a sense or a feeling that teachers and teachers local, I'm not saying national, because I was surprised if you were saying that Randy was there Friday. when you said that I couldn't believe it, and that's my attitude towards Randy. What are teachers across the country looking, as I said last time, let me go back and frame this right. Last week, I was saying that in my travels, and for the last 2 years that I've been on air and Facebook and all that stuff, there's not a doubt that CTU is the model that teachers and local unions in particular are looking at. You know, the big sister, the big brother, what you guys do is what we would want to do, but maybe we are afraid to do. You guys, when you do it, you give us courage, you give us confidence. I'm wondering now, especially since the school board has indicated that they're going to follow suit, if they haven't already followed suit, saying that your strike mm-hmm. was illegal, and mm-hmm. I don't know if the state could get in on it or what have you, or just only the city school board to bring such a suit because they're the only ones would have standing to do so. I don't know whether or not a lot, when I say a lot, I'm thinking thousands of teachers across the country maybe are possibly a little reluctant to get super enthusiastic because they're waiting to see what's going to happen to you guys, what kind of punishment, either individually or collectively. Do you get, or did, when I say do you get a sense, I'm asking you to be not only you the individual, but you the collective you in terms of any apprehension out there still among teachers across the country. Because I'll say this, this is my second road trip. I have talked to tons of teachers the first trip and the second trip. And one thing that I knew before I went out on that first trip, as well as this one, was that there was going to be the fear factor. There were people mm-hmm. who wanted to tell their stories, but they were so afraid of retaliation that they didn't or couldn't tell the stories. I had teachers get right at the interview and when we're sitting 3 or 4 feet from each other, and they're still undecided whether or not to go through with the interview because of the fear factors. I had people call me the next day and ask me to edit out something that they said or even take them out of completely if I were to include their stories in the project's finality in terms of trying to get together a one-hour documentary for each state that was going on. So the fear factor is huge. You guys have bucked it. And I'm just wondering, and I don't know, maybe I'm phrasing this properly enough, whether or not, now that the strike is over and the board is saying that they're going to sue you if they haven't already started the paperwork on that, are people reluctant to show the complete support because they're afraid that you guys are going to get sued, you guys are going to get in a lot of trouble, and it's not going to be worth it? Does that question make any sense to you?
I think so. I think I can. What Clape, my understanding of what Clape, I think both of us probably haven't kept up on the media that well just because it's been so busy, you know, it's been a day or two since we've been really busy. But what I've heard, though, is that Claypool, they filed a suit against us, that Claypool has said that there would not be individual consequences for anybody who was on strike. However, that they do intend to look at perhaps fining the union, and the main thing they're looking to do is get a preliminary injunction that legally enjoins us from ever doing it again. Whether that'll keep us from doing it again, I'm not so confident he can do that, but that's the main thing he's looking at doing, getting a legal decision about that it was illegal, but they can always change what they say, and they certainly, you know, they have lied to us consistently through the entire bargaining process, But if you take what he said that they weren't going to be trying to punish individual teachers. And so I haven't heard, we've only been in contact with the teachers that were at the conference with us, but I don't get a sense that people are afraid right now.
And the thing about it is that they try to use fear and intimidation to make us weak and divide us. But as long as we stay strong, you know, they thought that they could intimidate and scare us out of this action. And, you know, for a while there, like, we weren't sure what was going to happen. Like, people were, you know, even the CTU that people look up to, like, there was a lot of debate in our union. There was a lot of people that weren't quite sure what if they wanted to do this or not. But, you know, I think that's all the more reason just to do it anyway. You know, I mean, it's also, I have to say, like, it's at a point right now for a lot of teachers, especially in schools like mine, where they're at the end of their, you know, their ability to take all the horrible working conditions that we're under. Really, we've seen deteriorating working conditions since our 2012 strike, like just downhill, workloads ballooning, you know, just so little support, you know, and I think that people are kind of at the place where they're like, we're doing it. You know, we're not taking this anymore. This is it's ridiculous. It's out of control. We're doing something about it. You know, whatever the consequences, and let them try. You know, it was almost when they started talking, when they were threatening before the strike, you know, they were threatening about, and like principals were sending out threatening emails to staff. And it was almost for a lot of people, I kind of heard the response, let them just try to go after some individual, because we will show up in the hundreds and the thousands at that that workplace and make sure that that person knows that they're not going to intimidate anybody. And if we actually like show what solidarity can look like, if we show that, like, if we are willing to show up for one another, if, you know, if someone is getting attacked, that you can actually fight this stuff. And I think, you know, I do think that, you know, the fear kind of goes away once you're in those with masses of people. Like, when you're marching with 10,000 people, you don't feel fear. You feel excitement and joy, you know? So.
Katie and Ed, I'm sure I said this last week, but you know you guys are badass.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, that last 2 minutes, the enthusiasm, the confidence, that could not come from someone who is afraid, who's intimidated, who's even timid. That was badass. And you can tell them that I said that. You don't have to agree with it. Just tell them that I said it.
Yeah.
I just got a message from someone saying that the media is suppressing strike story, in my opinion, which is pretty much what we all said. Either suppressing it, and they probably more are suppressing, and then the few that have something to say, they are either trying to be true journalists and strike middle ground, or they are the journalists whose next paycheck depends on them saying what their bosses want them to say.
Right. So, and I actually think that that's a place where social media can't, like, social media sometimes is a little bit overrated, but I think in something like this, that just seeing the pictures and the solidarity and the, like, the little stories you could pick up just by looking at a Twitter feed or look on someone's Facebook page. Like, everyone was commenting, like, my Facebook page turned red today, you know, with just... So, I mean, even, the mainstream media is absolutely going to suppress this kind of story and enthusiasm because it scares the pants off of the people in charge, right? Like, the idea that, like, if people knew their own power, if we all knew that we had this power and that if we actually just walked out together, you know, to make change, that we actually could get it someday. You know, it'll take a fight, but, you know, we could actually organize for that. And, you know, that scares the pants off of them. So they want to make it, downplay it in every way they can.
That coincides with what I've been saying in terms of, can you imagine if, supposedly 5 million union teachers or something like that.
Right.
Could you imagine what would happen if there was a one-day strike at the same time all across the United States? And then what about this? That 5 million? And what if they brought, as I said last week, my concentric circle idea of one other person that was not a teacher, so that you'd have 10 million. And what if you brought another one, which would give you 15 million, and on and on. But more importantly, what happens if you showed up at the state capitol and walked the halls of the assembly and state legislature? And what happens if tens of thousands showed up in D.C.?
Yeah.
I talk about this, and you know, people look at me, and maybe you guys know this is your second time on the show, so you know that I'm not playing with a full deck. So what I'm about to say is consistent with not playing with a full deck. But what if you showed up to all those legislatures carrying a petition, and you asked them questions, and if they didn't answer the question honestly and truthfully, what if you took out your pen and signed that petition? Oh, and that petition is a recall petition, or that petition is supporting a candidate that's going to oppose them in the next primary. And what if you did that 30, 40, 50, 100 in every damn senator or legislature's office all across the country, sending them one hell of a message? That, and I would have some other things to say and say it other ways if we knew each other a little bit more. I'm restraining myself here.
Oh, let it all hang out.
It's your show.
Huh?
It's your show.
You're scared the shit out of people.
Go
okay?
on now.
You know, flat out. I mean, come on, think about it. Or when the guy comes,
woman
comes back to the district and they do the little town hall thing, and you stand up and you ask them, you voted on X when you had said that you weren't going to do that, that you were supporting us. And depending upon your explanation, you just signed the primary.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing it here in a week because I've been helping out. It's getting people what they need here, 500 signatures, valid signatures, to be placed on the ballot as a candidate for the public school district vote for, was it 5-6 members up for either re-election or challengers, what have you. And I said this, I met with several groups this week, and we were talking strategy and what have you. And I said that, you know, what if you go to a board meeting and the board takes the arrogant attitude or the disingenuous attitude, and you just get up and you show right in front of them, you show that you're signing the petition to support a person who's going to run in the primary against them.
Yeah.
If tens of thousands.
I mean, I would broaden that though. I wouldn't just do politicians, because honestly, our politicians are beholden to the people that fund them. I would go straight for the money sources. Like I would. You know, I think, like, we saw little windows of it when, like, when we actually interrupt, you know, the hashtag or the one of the titles for this April 1st thing was called Shut It Down. And there's a reason for that, right? Like, if we shut down enough, you know, of, you know, commerce and, you know, people's everyday business affairs so that the wealthy elites cannot make their money, you know, it is working people that is, you know, makes the money for them. They don't do it themselves. And if we actually shut it down, if we actually stop that money flow, then they would notice. You know, then they would, like, you know, we actually, that is our power, right? It's the power of money versus the power of people. So, yeah, I think we can make it even bigger. You know, yeah, we should go after those elections. And I actually think that the local stuff is probably more important than the national stuff. But,
Sure. But here's the deal. In Congress, of course, the Houses of Congress, where the big-time lobbyists write the legislation that the senators and the congresspeople vote on, and they say they haven't read it, so they didn't write it, that, I mean, that would be a lobbyist's dream if you showed up with several thousand people and start signing either. Well, you can't do it federalized and don't have a recall, but start signing petitions to support a candidate in the primaries right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And putting them against the lobbyists who have the millions of dollars to throw around and what have you, and you're telling them, you know what, you can take their millions for your candidate, your campaign, but you just saw 300 people sign, and when we go back, it's going to turn into 3,000, it's whatever number it is, and your money and their money is not going to do you a damn bit of good.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me that wouldn't scare the shit out of people. I'm sorry. I just know mm-hmm. it would. And I just got a message saying that, oh, the person thinks I am playing with a full deck. Oh, one person. Okay, that's cool. And to ask, you would ask the question, they say that when you go to these elected officials, ask them, is reform education? Very simple question. Because if they say reform is education, you know they should not be in a position to get your vote.
Mm-hmm.
Ed, you're quiet.
It's true. I'm tired. Oh,
you don't think I have a full deck? I told you I didn't.
I think it's, I don't know. We got to do what we can. I mean, there's this whole... We need to build up, you know, our own power, and that's going to mean confronting the politicians where they are. But it means having something to confront them with, which we did on Friday. Again, we got to work on it being, we worked pretty hard at trying to get it beyond us, but we need to keep working at that. So, I mean, somebody at the Labor Notes conference, we said, like, you know, we're trying to, like, broaden out and get other people, and so we got some people to go with us, but, you know, if we keep trying, we're going to have, you know, we shut down the school system, we interrupted Lakeshore Drive for a little bit, but that, you know, if we start getting a lot more people, like you're saying, well, if every teacher brings out five people with them, that'll really shut down the city, maybe for a day, maybe for a week, where we'll start, you know, showing we make the society run, and we can run it, and moreover, we can run it ourselves, and we don't need the people who are telling us to do, we can just run it ourselves, so... Hopeful.
Yes, I mean, certainly, we, again, back to education, we get our teachers, get our parents to run for school board. Get our teachers to start training. I mean, that's what here in Buffalo, this is my second trip in Buffalo. Maybe you guys don't know that. I was here for 10 days in November, and now if I leave, like I'm scheduled to leave next week, it'll be 15 days, almost an entire month. And the whole, my whole idea, which I also expressed this last year to the people in New York, Opt Out New York, about they were so successful that the nation was looking at them and et cetera. And I said to them, was your success a product of just having to be in a perfect storm? And by that I meant Cuomo had already said he wanted to destroy public education in the union. Washington was already on board with that. And the millionaires were also on board with it. And the legislature seemed to be on board with it. So you had all these people ignoring the will of the people. Was that enough to make it possible for them in New York to be able to get to almost 250,000 families to opt out? And we debated that. And then my next question was, if it wasn't the product of a perfect storm, we need to bottle what you guys did and take it all across the country. And the third thing I ask, and I had also asked this of United Opt Out, is are any of you who worked on this available to go across country and talk to and encourage and give inspiration to other communities? Well, we know United Opt Out, that's what they do nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm
mm-hmm.
looking at you guys. Again, remember I said you're the big brother, you're the big sister. I'm looking at you guys doing exactly what I asked, whether or not the people in New York was capable of doing or willing to do, and that is go across the country to communities, to other local unions, and share your enthusiasm and share your ideas. And, I mean, Katie, let's say the last 2 minutes, 3 minutes that you were talking, I mean, I was ready to fall you off a cliff. But remember what I said, I'm not playing with a full deck. So, but you can inspire people to, if you go around. I mean, I'm asking a lot, or I'm not asking, I'm putting out a lot, and I know it. But you guys are, I mean, I keep saying the same thing. You guys are the badass. If anybody can do it, you guys
can do
it.
Well, one thing I know after, you know, being in a room full of badass teachers yesterday in Labor Notes is there are badasses all across this country and this globe doing badass things for sure. I the CTU actually does send a lot of folks out across the country to talk to different locals and different caucuses. I think yesterday in the meeting we were at, like, people were like saying, oh, thank you to, you know, whoever from our union that came out to places in Canada and, you know, the West Coast and just Middle America, all these different places that I didn't even know as a CTU member that some of our members and staff had been out to. So, you know, people who had come out, you know, globally, gone to Japan to talk to Japanese teachers. I was talking for a while to a Japanese teacher yesterday at the Labor Notes. And, you know, I think, yeah, I mean, CTU is doing that and definitely open to doing more of that if that's something that can inspire people. But mostly it's about sharing, like, those strategies, you know, like, what worked? How do you do it? What didn't work? And I think that's really important to say, like, and I think it's important to, like, say that in the narrative, right? Like, not everything CTU does works or works well. It's messy and complicated and sometimes confusing and scary and, you know, and then things, yeah, Friday worked out great, but we didn't have a guarantee it was going to work out great, right? And it took a lot of just, you know, one-on-one conversations, just, you know, talking to members and not just the leadership, not just our union staff, but, you know, rank and file people talking to other rank and file people, you know, trying to see where people are at and what they're willing to do and how they want to go about winning this fight. Because we have consensus that there are problems, but we don't always have consensus on what to do about them. So, you know, it's messy.
Well, Detroit, where I was before coming here, and now Buffalo, both Detroit and Buffalo asked me to come back. I'm going back
to Detroit. Ed is from Buffalo.
And I possibly will be coming back. In fact, several people in the union and teaching at the university level, at the community level, has asked me to come back and stay for a year helping. And I'm saying to myself, and I'll say this to you, I mean, you guys would be far more creditable doing this, and some not coming staying for a year, but being able to have someone come up here and meet with them and discuss organizing and what have you. And so I'm going to tell the people that I have that type of relationship with that they need to get in touch with CTU. And since I know you, your number and your name and et cetera, and Michelle and et cetera, I'm going to suggest that if they really are serious about wanting to reach out and get someone who's been there, done that, and know how to do it, that they get in touch with one of the three of you as a start.
Yeah.
And I just realized that I didn't ask your permission to do that. Remember, I got an excuse. I'm not playing with a full deck, okay? So
I don't mind having a reason to go back to Buffalo, so.
Yeah, I'm from Buffalo.
You're from Buffalo, right?
Yeah, I grew up there mostly, so. And I know I just remember going back. I mean, it's like, in Buffalo, like, this teachers, I had a friend who worked as a teacher in Buffalo for a little bit and was even a little bit active in the union there. But in New York, teacher strikes are illegal, and Buffalo hadn't had a contract since, like, I think the last contract was in 2003 and some years, you know.
Exactly. That was the issue of conversation as late as yesterday.
Okay, it has. Yeah, I was just going to ask, is it still what they're dealing with? So,
And, you know, the strategy that I was talking about in terms of the possibility of winning enough seats that I'll call it our side would be the majority, and hence maybe there will be some leverage there from our side to get a contract, whereas before our side has been always in the minority. It's like out of the 9 seats, this time, right at this moment, we have 4 seats, and of the 4 seats, two are going to be up for re-election, and 1 is retiring. So we're obviously hoping to keep those 3 seats. The 4th one is not up for re-election. And then on the opposition side, there are a couple of seats up for grabs, and we think we have a really strong candidate for at least 1 of those seats. So, you know, we were strategizing in terms of what if we do get 5 seats, and then what that could do both in terms of contract negotiations, but also blunt the privatization movement that is going on here and a few other things that we've talked about. So, yeah, you know, again, I'm going to tell people about you guys and see if somebody will reach out to you. I mean, if they're reaching out to me, they definitely should reach out to you. Okay,
yeah,
folks.
Okay.
Anything else? Because we have time.
You know, people were asking us today, like, what's next? And I don't know. There's some of the hope was that this action on Friday would help to break the logjam in Springfield, such that there's maybe they free up some more state money for education and some other things. We're going to have to see. We're definitely prepared that we may have to go on a much longer strike in the near future. But I think it's the boards, besides that they're a little saber rattling over the nasty things they're going to do to us for going on that strike. Like, what's their move in as far as the contract goes? So we kind of have to see, like, okay, what are they going to do now? And then respond accordingly. Katie, am I right? There is a day for going down to Springfield this month.
I believe that was, I don't know that how many people they're going to take, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting. We have our House of Delegates is coming, our next House regularly scheduled House of Delegates is this Wednesday. So it will be interesting to see what people are saying. And yeah, we'll see. And it kind of depends on what the board decides to do, and we're hoping that, you know, they will start changing some of their, you know, we're still in our contract fight, right? So I'm going to be honest, most of us are not very hopeful that the board is willing or able to do what needs to be done to, like, win a good contract and, you know, get schools that actually benefit children. So we're ready to, you know, do what we have to do to win the kind of services and funding and, you know, changes that we need. So, and we know it might take a bigger fight. But this was a great kind of build-up to that.
Yes, I know that's the first things first, but that long-term plan of if you get through this, then is it important to get rid of Emanuel? Is it important to start putting pressure on the governor with a potential recall? But not only that, other politicians at all the levels. I mean, again, look at the number of people that you guys had. If you had 10,000 or 14,000, and look at the different groups that you had. We all have stakes in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that building on that, keeping that coalition together, adding others to it, going down to southern Illinois, where my folks were from, and getting the farmers and people down there. I happen to know Illinois, so both my mother and father are from southern Illinois, and I was probably conceived there before they moved up to the Midwest. So, and I spent a lot of time both southern Illinois as well as Chicago. So reaching out to the farmers in the more conservative elements, downstate, and et cetera, it's doable.
Right.
And everybody's going to do it, you guys are going to be the ones, and you're going to be the leader in all of this. I truly mm-hmm. believe that. And that's not hype either, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe mm-hmm. in you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I believe that Friday was a big victory, and we're gonna celebrate our victories as we can get them, and the fight goes on, but yeah, let's take a moment and say that was great.
And always have, of course, the immediate picture in mind, but also having that big picture in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, this is your second show. And I'm extending to both of you invitations to come back to War Report anytime. Something you want to talk about, something that you think everybody needs to know about, all you have to do is call me or message me, and we'll get it done.
All right, great.
I love having you guys on the show, and it's getting better and better each time. The rapport that we were establishing between the three of us, well, with me being the odd guy out, of course, all right. But that's an honest invitation. You can come back anytime.
Great.
Ask Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Tell you that.
Great.
Well, folks, let me now go back out and start trying to create a revolution here in Buffalo. I only have 5 days left before I head home. And as I said at the top of the show, I don't know if you guys heard me when I said it, Ed and Katie, but I've been on the road. When I back time I leave, this trip would be almost 10 weeks. And when I get home, I think I'll have maybe 3 weeks because there are possibly three more places that I'm going to go starting May. And you guys mm-hmm. in Chicago, you may even see me pop up in Chicago. I don't know my directions well, so I could easily get lost and pop up there some way. So if all goes well, I'll see you guys maybe in Chicago. And for everyone else, I'll be back next Sunday, our same time, but from home for a change. So with that, I'm going to say thank you to our guests and to everyone who stayed with us. Thank you, and have a good rest of Sunday and a good upcoming week. Thanks, everyone.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.